This is Dan Scanlon. On Monday, after the rally at the state capitol protesting the recent election results and the Electoral College, I spoke with Global Exchange founder Kevin Danaher.
If we the people don't stand up and come together, then the millionaires are going to keep running our country, and it's going to be government of, by, and for the corporations instead of by, and for the people. So the demands here at this protest today were get rid of the Electoral College. It's a holdover from slavery. We need to update our system and get rid of the Electoral College. We need campaign finance reform. We need to have Election Day be a holiday. It should be a day off. It should be on a weekend. In South Africa, they take 2 weeks to vote so that everybody has a chance to go. The way we have it on a work day, on a Tuesday, a lot of working class people that go in the morning before work, there's a big line. They go to work all day, then come out in the evening, and there's another big line. Let's make it easy for people to vote. This past election, there were 90 million Americans who didn't vote, who could have voted, almost half the population. So that's a system in crisis. It's like if you got 10 kids and five of them, you don't know where they are. That's a crisis in your family. Well, we got a crisis in the political family of this country. Half the people, and I talked to a guy the other day, he says, I don't vote. It doesn't affect me. I said, it doesn't affect you? Are you on drugs? What do you mean it doesn't affect you? It affects every aspect of your life. So what we're trying to say to people is, if there's something wrong with government, that's our fault. And we the people need to go out and fix it. That's the shining light that democracy is based on, is that democracy is a thing of, by, and for the people. So we got to get mobilized. We got to go out there. And it's not just about elections. It's about taking control of our communities, getting our economy back from the big corporations, shopping at our local merchants instead of, you know, the Home Depot, big transnational corporations. Every sector of our society has been taken over by these big corporations, whether it's government, our culture, our public media, the airwaves, etc. It's been captured. It's been taken over by these corporations, and it's up to us to take it back.
Yeah. Now, you've traveled the world in your function with Global Exchange, actually looking at other countries' elections, haven't you?
Yeah, we do election monitoring, and what we're learning now from going to these other countries is we need to bring in people from overseas to monitor these elections here, because there's a lot of ways in which we can learn. There's no country that's a model where we would just take their system and impose it here, but you can learn things. There's countries where they have proportional representation. So if the Green Party gets 5% of the vote, they get 5% of the seats in the legislature. They have instant runoff voting where you choose your top two or three choices. So if your first choice is Nader and your second choice is Gore, that information is there. In social science, I was trained as a sociologist. When you have a person in a voting booth or any place marking down information of how they feel, you want to get as much information as possible. So you ask them, what's your first, second, and third choices? Or none of the above might be one of the choices. There's all sorts of very detailed ways in which we can change our electoral system and the campaign financing, the whole run-up, the elections, the way we do the whole thing, to make it a lot more effective, include a lot more people, and make it truly democratic.
Yeah. The way we have treated so-called third world countries over the years, Central Intelligence Agency and, you know, backing the United Fruit Company in Guatemala, and that eventually that kind of activity on the part of the government, supposedly in our name as citizens, would eventually come home to roost.
Exactly.
And can you see the electoral process and the collapse of the system that basically was put in place?
Well, I think we've got a double crisis.
Are we now a third world nation of sorts?
We've got a political crisis and an economic crisis. Right? If you change the rules of the global economy to let big corporations, big concentrations of wealth, go anywhere and do anything they want to people and the environment. You let them shut down factories here and go set up factories in China where they pay people a dollar a day, not a dollar an hour, a dollar a day. And if people try and form a trade union, they get tossed in jail. So, you know, for example, if you look at the statistics, there's more computer equipment and electronics coming into the United States from China than China buys from the United States. But it's not about China. It's about Compaq and Dell and Macintosh and IBM and Intel. They move their factories there because they want to have workers they can pay a dollar a day. It's going to mean more profits for them. But is it best for human rights? Is it best for the environment? No, it's not. What's best for human rights and the environment is real democracy where the people actually control. And we've been taught this fairy tale that we actually have democracy in this country. We don't have democracy, and it was just proved to us by this stolen election where, hail to the thief, George W. Bush is going to be president for 4 years now.
Yeah. You just said you were you're a sociologist, trained as a sociologist, right. Your degree apparently. How does a person of goodwill make the leap in their life to a full bore activist from?
Well, it's baby steps. You crawl before you walk, and you walk before you run. So if you look at me or anybody else who's involved in this movement, there were little steps along the way where we experienced something, we read a book, we had a good professor who opened our eyes. For those of us that started Global Exchange, it was being in countries, holding babies in our arms that were dying of hunger in a world that produces plenty of food. There's more food produced per capita now in the world than ever before in history. There's no excuse for children dying from things like measles. The vaccine costs 10 cents. It's because of the inequality in the world. It's not a real shortage. It's a false scarcity because some people have so much. The richest 20% of the world's people consume 86% of the world's resources. The poorest 80% get only 14% of the world's resources. Well, when you see parents trying to throw themselves into the grave of their little kid who just died from measles, and you see that taking place, and you try and cry yourself to sleep at night, that's going to change you. You're going to make some kind of commitment to fix it. You can't save that individual kid who died, but you can do something about getting the system that is creating poverty and inequality that's putting more and more kids in the grave all the time. I think that's a good reason to be alive. That's better than, you know, selling widgets for IBM or something like that. So that's what gets me up in the morning and gets me motivated is what we're doing here is we're creating the foundation layer of a future global revolution, a values revolution, to have love of life, not love of money, be what guides the planet. And we're moving in that direction. There's more and more people all the time coming over to it.
Have you come across any tricks that other people have used to, like, break out of the syndrome of drive for an hour on the freeway, work for somebody for 8 hours a day, drive for another hour on the freeway, come home, snap at the kids, eat dinner, watch a little bit of TV, and do exactly the same thing next day.
They got us on the treadmill. They got us on a treadmill, right?
Have you come across any tricks for getting off that treadmill?
Well, what we did was we set up our own organization. Right? And now there's about 40 staff people, so there's 40 people getting a paycheck to do political work and educational work about human rights and the environment. So it can be done. It's not like we were geniuses or something. We just said, hey, we want to do this. We want to create jobs for ourselves where we get to do what we want to do, and we're contributing to society, but we still get a decent paycheck. Not fat city, big paycheck, but a decent enough paycheck to survive. So I think you got to do three things in life. You got to make enough money to feed yourself and your family. You got to do something that's meaningful and fun for you. And you got to do something that's a social contribution and makes the world a better place. If you can get those three things together, bingo, you got it. And I think more and more people now, we see a growth in green businesses, a growth in human rights groups, in environmental groups, the non-governmental organizations, the NGOs. There's now tens of thousands of international NGOs, nonprofit groups, who focus on building links across borders, whether it's national borders, gender borders, race borders, tying people together, bringing together the human family. So we'll end up with a living definition of that old rap about there's one race, the human race. Let's bring people together. Let's be a bouquet, and let's function as if we really are a family. It can be done. It's going to be done. It's just a question of how long is it going to take us.
We've been talking with Kevin Danaher of Global Exchange. Thanks for talking to KVMR.
My pleasure.